latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your very tired host, Larry.
I am your very Canadian host. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm your other host, Justin.
So this week we are reviewing a video game, Nosferatu, yep. Wrath of Malachi, and we're going to get all into that. We're recording on Thanksgiving in the Americas. Thanksgiving plus a month for Justin and his Canadian brother.
My Canadian brother?
Brother in.
Oh. Like yeah, I don't know. It's like something like a month ago.
Your Tim Horton loving friends.
Hey, you know what? Tim Hortons really isn't that great. I don't get the, like, everybody loves it.
There's none out here. There is some in Columbus. It's Dunkin' out here.
Yeah, it's okay, but, you know, there's better places to get coffee.
All right, so what has been new with you? We've recorded a lot of episodes in under a week, so what's new?
Okay, so I think, all right, let's see. Because we actually haven't done a lot of, like, what's new in the last recording, so I think I got a lot here. So
okay.
Start off with the usuals. Been playing Death Stranding.
Okay.
Been playing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I watched The Headhunter, which yes. will have we'll come be out by now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it'll be out for on Shudder on December 5th, so make sure you check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome movie. No spoilers for the review, I guess. Played a little tiny bit of Jedi Fallen Order, like mm-hmm. maybe half an hour. It was fun.
You have to know how you like it. I trust your opinions on it. So,
oh well.
Although I think
that.
This might be our most divisive game review yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think that a game like this definitely has... I think the games you played growing up definitely had an impact on how you would feel about this game now. But I mean,
agree.
We'll get into that. Yeah. And what else have I been playing? I listened to a bunch of Harry Potter books this week.
Fun.
Last week. Yeah. Man, there's got to be more. I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but... Oh, I played Wrath of Malachi. I beat it in a day.
Yeah.
I think. What else? I can't think of anything. What about yourself?
Sure. So I went and saw The Irishman in theaters.
All right. Yes. Yeah.
It's on Netflix now. So it's not my favorite Scorsese film, because Goodfellas is like my favorite movie of all time, and I really doubt anything will replace it just because of its like significance on a lot of levels. But it's easily Martin's most mature film to date. And it's crazy because it's 3.5 hours long, but it doesn't feel that long. Like, it legitimately does not feel like you're sitting there watching a movie for that long. Its pacing is perfect.
Which is always a good thing, because I will never forget sitting down and watching. While I love Return of the King and all the Lord of the Rings movies, that was a long movie to sit and watch at the
end. And there's a 40-ish minute sequence where like all the kind of characters that you've learned to know are in a room together. And it's got some of the best tension I've seen on screen in a long time. So as it currently stands, The Irishman is my favorite film I've seen this year. There are some more I need to see. I want to see Peanut Butter Falcon. Need to see Lighthouse. Need to see Parasite still. But yeah. It was very, very good. Made me very happy to see that in theaters. Also beat Wrath of Malachi. Did not take me a day. Took a lot, but we'll save that for when we get into the actual review.
Yeah.
I will put one quick note out there. This is the first time that I have taken no notes, only my scores, because I know exactly what I'm going to say. Like, it's...
I know exactly what you're going to say, too.
This is going to be an interesting review. But honestly, just prepping for the move, man. I have a big final lab presentation on Tuesday. So that's taking up a lot of time, wrapping up experiments to get them done before I leave. I cooked Thanksgiving meal today for our small group of friends, and that was really, really nice. And that's really about it. This is our last live recording while I'm in Utah, which is interesting to think about. Next time I record, I'll be back in the Buckeye State.
Oh, you're going to be back on the EST.
Yeah, we'll be back in the EST. Stop making it weird when we have to schedule stuff with interviews. But, yeah, that's pretty much it, Justin. No reading, no real time, not listening to anything new, just getting ready to drive 1,700 miles across the country.
Woof.
With two dogs and a cat. But this time, instead of in a tiny Kia, I'm in a big old truck.
Oh, yeah. So is Devin taking her car as well? Like, are you guys?
No. So the car that she bought, part of the deal was that she, because she was a master negotiator, they included a shipment fee. So they're actually shipping it back to Columbus for her.
Damn.
Yeah. She, it was very impressive. but that's really it for me. So let's waste no further time. Justin, play the music from this game and let's talk about Nosferatu, The Wrath of Malachi. I love video games review, Justin, because that means I get to sit back and watch you work. But it always seems like you don't have a whole lot to talk about. Even on old games that are like 16 years old, you don't have a whole lot. So
well,
what
this
are you
one...
bringing to the table with this one?
So I think I actually, this is the only one I've really like told you up front about yes. how little there is. So I have two development notes.
Okay.
So first I'll start off with... this game was developed by a Swedish video game developer, IdleFX, and it was released in 2003, and it's only on PC.
Yep.
Now...
with no controller modifications.
Yeah, so it's all... I mean, back then, it was all keyboard. It was all WASD.
I'll save it for gameplay. Yeah. I will save it for gameplay.
So, this company, they made four games
okay.
in 2003... and they vanished.
So who got the like $1.25 that it cost me to buy this game?
I'm sure some holding company of theirs or something.
Okay.
But yeah, so the four games they released are FBI Hostage Rescue, Drake of the 99 Dragons, Ghast, and Nosferatu, The Wrath of Malachi. From what I understand, this is their best game. They are that company is known for the Drake of the 99 Dragons because apparently it was like a huge mega flop.
Okay.
And that's like what kind of killed the company. Yeah. And then they just disappeared. They just absolutely disappeared into thin air. So
what was the budget of this game?
No idea.
How much did it sell?
No idea. None of those numbers are available.
Jeez.
Nothing.
Leaving all the fun data out.
Yeah. There's really like there's absolutely nothing. I
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought it for like a buck something.
Yeah, that's what I got it for too. It was like on a sale, like when we were playing out the Vampire season, it kind of popped up, so we pulled it right away.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that I can say this without even knowing it 100%, you can definitely tell it pulls from like Doom and Quake. Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that, I think, pretty heavy.
Yeah,
the proper review.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Justin, 60-second plot summary. Unless you want a challenge and you want 30, because I think it could easily be done in maybe 15.
I will take that challenge.
All right, I will give you a 30-second timer. You let me know when you're ready, and I'll give you a 3, 2, 1 go.
I am good to go.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so your family is traveling for a wedding. They all get kidnapped at Nosferatu's castle. You go rescue them one by one, and then you face off against Malachi, the Dark Lord, who's been sacrificing everybody. He kills your sister at the end and then turns into like a weird dog thing. That's like all the plot.
And you had 10 seconds to spare. I was right with the 15. So plot. Like I said, I didn't take any notes because for me, this is going to be more of a stream of conscience.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit before we start reviewing about how we played it. I cracked it open last weekend. And this is a confession I'm making to our audience, everyone who listens to this podcast. I know I have a lot of gamer friends who probably know me from gaming more than anything else. I am dog shit at shooters. Like, I don't find them fun. I'm not good at them. They make me angry. The only shooters I really like are like Doom 3 and on. mainly because they aren't hard, you know?
So the more like modern shooters.
Like run and gun, yeah. So yeah. For example, I am very intrigued by the Mass Effect series, but that's too shootery for me.
Man, that is insane, because that is like...
I know.
Okay, yeah.
So I started playing this and got really nervous.
Yeah.
Justin hopped on and beat it.
Yeah, it took me like... I think it took me 2 hours, 2.5 hours, split over like 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's like not including the hour I played and then restarted.
Yeah. So we'll save the gameplay stuff for the gameplay section, obviously.
Yeah.
So we'll just stay focused on plot. And Justin's summary was really simple, right? Like that is the plot of the story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard because this is going to bleed into gameplay a little bit, but your family members can die throughout your time playing. But there's no weight to their deaths because there's no real buildup between your connection with them.
Yeah, it's just like Uncle Dave, and that's like the only...
Aunt Ellie or whatever.
Yeah, that's the only connection you have to them. I will say, you can find these like books that dive deeper into the lore.
Yes, I found a couple in the library. There's a couple in the cemetery, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And while they are like well thought out, I think... So we should get off and kind of stop this for a second, and I should say... for any of you like quote unquote gamers out there, this is like it's a roguelike game. So it's every time you start, the whole map is completely randomized. And
I was going to say that for gameplay because that's where I'm really going to go off.
Okay, well yeah. I will say
that like I said, that is where I think the bulk of this review is going
to
go.
Okay, I will say it's kind of hard to put any more into the plot because even where you find those snippets is randomly generated.
Yep.
So there's not really too much to it, but I also think it lends itself well to this style of shooter.
Sure. Sure.
You disagree. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, I'm saying more for gameplay. Like I said, you can find the lore. The lore is not important because the plot's not important about what this game is.
Yeah, but I think it's like it's the type of game where I think it's okay that the plot is very middling. It doesn't like nothing really acts to serve the plot, and I think that's okay.
It kind of with your sister at the end and everything. It kind of does, and like if you don't save enough people, then you're screwed, and then like the game's over. So like the plot kind of matters, and I feel like maybe they could have built up a little bit more, but it's also a game from 2003 from a small indie company. So, like, I'm not expecting a whole lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and, like, it's, I don't know, it's just, like, very middling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I mean, that's really it, because most of my stuff is for gameplay.
Yeah, I agree. So let's not hold off to that any longer. So, like we said, it's very middling. Nothing bad, but nothing good either. So it's a 5 for me.
Yeah, I gave it a 5, too.
Gameplay. Justin, sorry this isn't our normal pro-con thing. I woke up this morning around 1:30 because I was playing it last night with Justin on the screen and he was seeing me struggle. And I just had to get it beat. So I had a lot of glitches that you were here
to witness. Which is like
kicking
interesting.
Me off the map, bosses not spawning, people disappearing on me. And so basically the way I had to beat this game is like it's randomly generated. Everything's randomly generated. So when I would save a person or I would find a key item, I would save. I would walk around, try to figure out what's going on. If I couldn't figure it out, I would revert to that save and come again because it reverts on your saves. Like you can't even save and go forward the same way.
Yes. No, and it's weird because like...
It sucks. It's awful. Like I honest to God, and this is going to be, I think, where we split the most. I don't know how people find this fun.
So I will say for myself, I only ever had to, I didn't even have to reload. It's when you fight I was talking to you last night when you're playing a little bit of it, when you like go up this tower, you fight a boss.
Yes.
And then you come to, and it's this whole thing. And he didn't spawn for you. For me, he didn't spawn, but all I had to do was go back down that tower and then his cutscene played. So I didn't even have to restart. So I don't think throughout this game, I didn't have to restart once.
Yeah, and your PC is better than mine, so maybe that's something to do with it. But this game also didn't like pull a whole lot on the PC end. Like it was like it required a whole bunch of power to get.
But like I'm starting to think that maybe, in a weird way, because like it kind of comes back to like the whole Rust and Par thing, right?
Yeah, it could be Rust and Par to play. I mean, like you know that my New Year's goal is to build a very nice PC for gaming and podcasting. Like that's something I'm working on as a personal goal.
Yeah.
And that's not for this review right now. But yeah, I had issues like that. Mouse and keyboard.
I actually don't mind mouse and keyboard.
Dude, I kept hitting the wrong buttons. I kept hitting caps lock instead of A. I tried using the directional pad, but then I had to like tap shift, so it made no sense. You have to use your mouse. I'm not that kind of gamer. That's this is the first game we've played on the PC, and I don't know. Like those controls for me have just aged so poorly. Like I honestly don't know how people play with a mouse and keyboard. I don't get it. Like
I will say this. Usually unless a game recommends that you play with a controller, I usually play with mouse and keyboard on my PC.
Really?
Yes. So like Red Dead Redemption 2, I've been playing that on mouse and keyboard. It actually feels a lot better. It feels so much better on mouse and keyboard.
It just seems so awkward having two. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've never been a PC gamer. Like my first console, like my first gaming unit was a Sega.
Yeah.
And like growing up until I bought like this computer, like when I was an older adult, the games I used to play were like Minesweeper and Solitaire. And I had a laptop that I got when I was at West Point. And I killed it because I downloaded Civ 4 on it. And I just sucked the RAM right out of it.
Yeah, like for me, like I grew up playing like Quake and Quake 2 and like Doom 2 and a bunch of Duke Nukem games. And like I played a lot of PC games.
And you mentioned this already, but this game plays a lot like old Doom, like the original Doom. That's what it plays like. And I was excited at first when I started playing it. That's what I thought it was. But again, my experience playing Doom is on console. It came with Doom 2016. So like my feel was with that, and I was good at that because it's Doom. Like I'm okay with it. But man, this was rough. The stuff randomly generating was rough. People disappearing on me, like having the mechanics. Like sometimes like I would get lost because the maps randomly generated, but some of the rooms in the hallways looked the same.
Yeah.
So I would think I was going the wrong way, only to find out that I went the entire opposite direction of trying to get to the safe house.
Oh, man. See, it's got to have to do with, like, reloading and stuff like that. Because I didn't have to reload, I kind of was able to map out in my head where everything in the castle was.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have those issues. But, I think that's why it's important that we both review it, right? It's not like one of us reviewing it. It's because some of us run it. Some of us...
Yeah,
ran into a bunch of problems and I didn't have any.
Yeah, but it's also important too because when we get to movies and stuff, right? Like, I think that I can be pretentious sometimes. And I think that comes through in the reviews where you give more of what does an average person think about this movie, not someone who just likes watching weird indie films.
Man, I don't know. Did you hear me in that Nosferatu review?
I did call you out a little bit for it. You weren't pulling your job. But like I said, for me, like as a console gamer, as someone who likes a map, who if I get stuck, I can go online and find something. I mean, I grew up playing Final Fantasy strategy guides. When I got Final Fantasy X, I got the Final Fantasy X strategy guide with it.
Oh man, right from the rip?
Mm-hmm. It was a present and it came together. And, like, it doesn't tell you the story, and I like Final Fantasy X for the story, right? Like, I play... Now mechanics matter a little bit more to me, but back then it was the story that I loved.
Yeah.
You know? And I have a strategy guide for every Final Fantasy game.
I will say this. We have a secret... not really a secret. A surprise thing coming up soon-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also a PC game, and man, I am worried for you now. Okay, so to put this into perspective,
yes,
for all you PC users out there, I introduced Larry to Alt-Tab.
Yeah, that kind of shows you how much I didn't know. Like, I honestly I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so I do a lot of computer work for, like, work, but it's, like, software, right? It's analyzing, like, large data sets. Like, I feel like a pro now because I can mess around with Audacity. Like, but that's like the extent of my skill. And I guess I have to review the gameplay as
well as you experienced it and as it is for you. It. And I agree, like, because for me, because I didn't have those issues, I was able to appreciate the fact that, like, the clock ticking down and, like, having it always present there for me was, like, invigorating. Like, it was like, holy shit, I need to go start saving people.
Yeah, and at first it was that way for me too, but when, like, I realized that, like, because I, like, no joke, like, stuff wouldn't spawn in rooms. Remember when I was trying to find the East Tower key? You were with me on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cleared the room, couldn't find it, reverted to an old save, and then it was in the room.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, I was just having a lot of issues, and the clock would have meant more if I wasn't having an issue, but I kept resetting it. Like,
yeah.
And because I was resetting it, like, I would never look at the clock because I was, like, focused more on, like, the next person to save or finding the next key, right? So I was never really felt the crunch.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. I gave it a 3. Basing that. Well, I'm thinking I gave Man of Medan a 3.5 for gameplay.
Yeah.
And Man of Medan played better than this.
Oh, man, I love this game so much more than Man of Medan.
Okay.
I will say, nothing feels better than staking a vampire.
I just used a sword the whole time.
Oh, man. I you pull out that stake.
Except for the cross for the ghosts.
Oh, yeah. You pull out that stake and it one hit kill. Awesome. I love it. The randomly generated stuff. I'm not really usually a fan of the roguelike games. There's a couple I enjoy. But I think this, in its small setting, really worked for it.
Small set in the east wing of that thing is like 3/4 of the game.
Yeah, but
randomly generated rooms and plots and keys and people. You're nuts. You're nuts.
Oh, it was fun.
I want more of our listeners. Please, it is so cheap on Steam. Please buy it and play it and let us know which side you fall on, because now I feel like I'm just a whiny baby.
I gave it an 8.
Really?
Oh, man. It was so, like, innovative, and the whole idea of having this countdown go on and you don't know who's going to die next, and, like, things literally get locked off to you if people die. Also, if, like, 7 people die, it's an instant game over because they, like,
screwed.
Man, that's they explain it in one of those side books, though. That, like,
I know, but still, I get it. I get the story, but, like, in a randomly generated map, it's whatever. That's,
oh, again, it's fun.
If you've played this game, please let us know. Honestly, I think this might be our biggest spread on scores ever.
Oh, I think it definitely will be.
Because usually we're within, like, a point or two of each other, but this is a 5-point spread.
Yeah. I had so much fun with this game.
You're crazy. Okay, audio.
I want to get ahead of this and say, I think that this has, like, the best ambient background tracking to it, where it, like, grows and swells as you're going through the castle, and, like, it when it's at its, like, base state of nothing, like, crazy happening, it's got this really creepy, like, it just, like, makes you uncomfortable, this sound. I'm gonna probably use that music for, like, the transition music, so I won't play it again here, but I don't know, I love the music in this.
I thought it was really good too. Yeah. Like, honestly, the boss fight music was great. When you're just moving around, when enemies are close to you, you can kind of tell when things change. I think audio is probably the brightest point of this game. It's an older game too, and I play with headphones. Like, whenever I play any game for review, I play with headphones more, just because I feel like it's more immersive that way.
Yeah.
I really was impressed. The voice acting was okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it may.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of it. It was more like your family members you talk to and stuff. But, like you said, the atmospheric noises, the main score, the way it tracked with you as you're moving through the castle when things were happening, it was very impressive to me. For how small this game obviously was, it was really impressive to me.
Yeah, and I mean, like, so things will break through windows and break through the floor.
Or the ceiling.
And, like, every time I heard that noise, it scared the crap out of me. And I, like, instantly, it was like,
because even last night when I was playing with you in the background, I reacted because I was walking upstairs in the East Tower and someone crashed from the ceiling, but it was behind me, and like I had to readjust, and I sucked at controlling my character, so it was a whole thing. And no, I really think, probably touched on it too when we get to how scary, but I really found that the audio was pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Like I don't think there's like really, again, because this game, it can be beat very quickly. I think there's like a speed run for it for like an hour, maybe less, 12 minutes or something.
Yeah, I saw that. And that's got to be luck. That's got to be some serious, serious luck.
Yeah, but I mean, it is, yes, it's randomly generated, but it is a very small game.
Like the only random generated game I've ever played and enjoyed myself was the original Legend of Zelda. Like I had a emulator that I modded the game so I could play it that way. And that was fun because I knew the game so well and I was running around. Again, this is gameplay. We're already past that. But, dude, I don't see the fun in it. I just don't see how that's fun.
I will find one that I think you will like, and I'll let you know.
Okay. And I'm at least giving it a shot. Podcast. I just don't see how that's fun.
Oh, yeah. And, well, that's the thing, right? Like, with these games, I think it's very... It to kind of bring it out of podcast, like, it's like Death Stranding. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It's hitting with me like crazy, yeah. And I love it. But a lot of people hate it. A lot of people will never play it.
That's how I feel about some of the Final Fantasy games. I know a lot of people were upset with 13, where like most of the game's like a hallway, right? Yeah. But to me, I liked it. Like I liked how like it's same with Pokemon. Like I didn't care about the wild area when I was complaining about it. Like how like most of the town was straightforward, and then there was like a one big wild area.
Yeah.
Like I don't care about that, right? I'm more into games for the story and stuff. And I'm opening my horizons here, but it's to tie it back into audio because it's randomly generated. It's why the audio impressed me so much because it really like every single time you entered a room or a new enemy, like it's all randomly generated, but the music fit. Like the music never jumped. The music never was weird. I really, really was impressed by the audio score.
Yeah, me too.
So with that, I gave it a 7.5 only because the voice acting was eh.
I gave it an 8.
Yeah, I gave Manamadon an 8. I couldn't give it the same score as Manamadon. I'm kind of like that's like the last we did Rust and Par and Obra Dinn, I guess, but at Obra Dinn we both gave a perfect score.
Oh man, Obra Dinn. If only every game would have the same soundtrack as Obra Dinn.
Yeah.
Anyways, right,
so how scary.
So I think this is where it's going to be interesting.
I have to say I liked it. I did find it scary. The monsters popped out at you. They would hide them behind doors, and because I was so bad at controlling, I wasn't checking the corners, and I would have a dog on my ass or a ghost coming at me. The bosses all were intimidating. The last boss, Malachi, was pretty tough too, which was, I appreciate, a challenge on the last boss. Because it's randomly generated and I was kept resetting, like the scares never went away because I was constantly, it was always new. Like every single time I hit reset, I knew I was walking into a brand new map.
And I think that's where part of the random generation definitely works is because you, like when we were talking about it, I couldn't tell you, oh, by the way, there's going to be like this monster here and this monster here. It was like,
yeah.
You or, went in not knowing.
Or your uncle's going to be here. The key you need is over here. It was like, well, sucks to suck. But I think it worked out well in this regard.
No, I agree. I think it was like, sometimes I find, especially with like older PC games, it's hard to maintain that scare level. I mean, it's especially, I mean, we have scarier things in 2019 than we did in 2003.
Yeah.
But I think this definitely like brought it in a way that you don't really see a lot of older PC games bringing it in the scare factor.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, I compare this to OG Doom.
Yeah.
And OG Doom, although it plays the same, it's never really that scary. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're kind of OP. And this one, until you get the chalice and stuff, like, you're not OP. And, like, there's a lot of pressure on you. I played on easy, Justin, I think, played on medium.
Yeah.
And I think because you weren't the Doom guy and you didn't have the BFG and stuff, like, or you couldn't find the BFG and you're kind of limited, and even the ultimate weapon, which was the chalice, like, you had to go refill it.
Yeah.
So if you use it, you had to get back to refill it, and with randomly generated crap, like you don't know what you're gonna run into the next time.
And I will say, back to gameplay, it's awesome that you had to like christen the water to
it
up.
That was cool. That was a good like. Yes, you're right. So I found it scarier than Doom, and I think that it had its high points. Like we don't talk about graphics really on here unless it like breaks the game. Like that's not really. I think you can play a bad graphic game with controls well. like Parasite Eve, like where we haven't gotten to that yet, but I think that game controls really well, like the combat in that. And the graphics aren't that great, but I still think it plays well. You know what I mean? So I don't think that conversation is necessary, at least for what we're doing here. And I guess I was happily impressed.
Yeah, and like kind of, I didn't bring this up earlier in plot, but this has nothing to do with the movie. It features like some of the vampires are based off of Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. And I believe the second last boss, like when you're fighting him, when he kills your sister and he's like chasing you around the room.
Yeah.
He like, I think it was him. He looks like almost exactly like
Orlok. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, like I mean, seeing that in a game was cool. That's for sure.
I agree. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I liked it. I found it scarier than Man of Medan. I gave it a 7.
I gave it a 7 as well. So maybe it was just that one point that we didn't really agree on.
No, I agree. I think that, honestly, like the only section, like the only thing I can think about before we had a big disagreement on was how scary for The Last of Us. Yeah. When I was being kind of a douche about it. But I think it's important. I think it's important that we disagree sometimes. And I think especially for video games are a very personal kind of choice. Like, yeah. For example, Devin loves Monkey Island games and like the point and click adventure games. I'd rather watch Paint Dry.
Oh, really? Oh, man, I love those Monkey Island games.
I mean, that's why, you know, but the thing is, like, I can see why Obra Dinn was what it was for you. Like, absolutely. Yeah. I get why it has a following, right? I mean, we scored How Scary appropriately, but yeah, like I said, this game, it was definitely not the worst thing we've played at all. No. And like I said, the big thing for me is gameplay. There's just a lot of stuff in there that as a my personal choice for video games is never again. Okay, for plot, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. For gameplay, I gave it a 3. You gave it an 8. For audio, I gave it a 7.5. You gave it an 8. And for how scary, I gave it a 7, and so did you. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 63% D for our vampire media reviewed to date. That would put it in behind Dr. Sleep and Nosferatu.
Okay, fair.
So, third. And you guys will be soon hearing our Salem's Lot movie review in a couple weeks. And you'll see where that falls. And then on our overall list of media reviewed, it falls right below the Suspiria remake, which has a 63% D, and right above The Boy, which has a 62% D-.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot worse vampire games that we could be playing and are going to play.
And then for video games, The Last of Us is above it with a 66% D, and right below it is Clock Tower 3 with a 59% F.
Lord Burroughs, man. It's something you never forget.
Lord Burroughs tanked that. I was having so much fun.
Like, let me tell you this. Like, I played that game when it came out, and did I you still... Really? Oh yeah, I've really always been into like, I used to have a very large collection. I think of over like 300 PS2 games.
That's awesome. Let's not make you sad.
But I will say, I mean, so we played that in 2018, right?
We've been doing this for a long time. Yeah.
I still remembered how bad that boss was. I mean,
dude, like, I broke a controller.
Yeah, and that I guarantee that is a boss you will never forget.
For as long as I live, I hear hard boss. Like for me, it was, what's the one in 12? The ridiculously hard dragon in the Colosseum. Ziamat, right?
Yeah, Tiamat.
Yeah. Wowzers, right? Even in the remake, like it was still hard. But Lord Burroughs is without a doubt the hardest boss I have ever fought in my entire life, and that includes doing knife only runs in Resident Evil games.
Let's see if we can beat that with a game that we're gonna be playing soon.
Don't scare me. All right, guys, that's a review of Nosferatu: Wrath of Malachi. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and again, if you've played this game, if you have opinions on roguelike games, like, I would like to hear from more people who have played those games. Send us an email, we'll read it on the show, we'll discuss it. And I guess I need to understand why there's a market for these kind of games, because it blows my mind that people find it fun.
I will try to pick out some choice roguelike games that I think you might like.
Okay. But guys, with that being said, it's the end of the review. Justin played that commercial. Let's head on into the closing.
Do you ever watch a horror movie and think, oh, wow, that headshot didn't have nearly enough blood? Don't the writers know that 20% of your blood is in your head?
Are you the type of person that tells your friends, well, why yes, in space no one can hear you scream because the molecules are too far apart to transmit sound waves?
Does it seriously annoy you when a horror movie doesn't explain its rules to you or claims to have horror rules and then just ignores them?
Do you ever express these concerns to your friends who tell you that you should stop worrying so much because it's just a horror movie, Sam?
Then stop lecturing your friends about physics and come listen to our podcast, That's Not How Science Works, which I co-host with my awesome friend, Nicole.
In our podcast, Caitlin and I discuss science in different pieces of media, such as movies or TV shows, in various genres, and dissect whether that science is good, bad, or just plain ridiculous. Often, we also have special guests who help us rant about bad science in their areas of expertise.
We release new episodes every other Monday, and you can find us wherever you usually download your podcasts. We like to think of this as a podcast for the science curious. Whether you're Sam with a dedicated YouTube channel complaining about bad science and horror movies, or just like to learn things while listening to friends banter about what they watched that week, we'd love for you to listen in.
You can find out more by going to our website, thatsnotscience.com, or by looking us up on Twitter at TNHSWpod. We hope you give us a listen. Now back to your regularly scheduled horror enthusiasts, Larry and Justin, and that's definitely a word that's a real word and not a word that I just made up, and whatever terrifying thing they're discussing that would probably give me daymares for a week.
So Justin, this is our last time sitting down to record for about 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, what am I going to do? Oh, well, actually, I might have something coming out in those 2 weeks. But we're not 100% sure when, but hopefully.
The next episodes, which are pre-recorded, is our review of Stephen King's Salem's Lot, which I've talked about before. It's one of my favorite novels, let alone horror novels of all time. And then Justin chose his first movie of the podcast, which is Toby Hooper's adaptation of Salem's Lot for TV.
Man.
That three-hour gem.
Yeah, the same guy who did Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Man,
and Poltergeist.
Like, yikes. What a...
Yeah, but at least we got this out of the way so when we finally get to Texas Chainsaw Massacre...
It'll be like a breath of fresh air.
It'll be like, oh, yes. Good movie. You don't have to go to his bad ones.
Spoilers on how we felt about that, but I think everybody feels about that. That movie.
When our next live episode, which will be 3 weeks from now, will be our Christmas special slash episode, a normal scheduled episode, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. Yeah. Well, I won't go into it, but yeah, I'm excited for that.
And honestly, I think that's it, guys. Appreciate your support. Hopefully you're loving our vampire season again. I really do want to hear from people and hear other people's thoughts on random generated roguelike games. I would love to hear from the gaming community more on their thoughts.
Yeah, and I would like to say I think we're taking steps to have bigger things happen in 2020. I think it's safe to assume.
We are trying our best to keep the podcast growing.
Yes, and some of those things might be coming to light sooner than others, and I'm really excited.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that's the end of our review. So until next week, and until you hear from us live again, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.